Welcome to The Brand Called You, where we converse with interesting people to understand the past and predict the future. Today, the brand is Nitin Seth. Nitin is a friend of mine from IIT days. And in the time since IIT, he has worked for some tremendous companies, including McKinsey, Fidelity, Flipkart, and now he runs his own consulting and technology firm called Incedo. We're going to talk about all of that. Welcome to the show, Nitin.
Hi, Sandeep.
First question, you've worked at some pretty marquee name companies. Tell me one perk that you really enjoyed at any one of these companies.
Well, let's start with McKinsey. I think the great thing about McKinsey was all the travel. And the travel was the opportunity to experiment with a lot of food. So I'm a total foodie.
Yeah.
So there are two segments of, you know, all of humankind can be divided into two segments: those who eat to live, and those who live to eat. So I'm certainly in the second category. So I think that travel and kind of, you know, enjoying food was probably, you know, a very interesting thing. But on a more serious note, I think the biggest thing was just the learning opportunity, just learning from people. I think the great thing about working in, starting my career in a firm like McKinsey and then going on to Fidelity and then Flipkart, all of which have really exceptional people, was just the perk of meeting great people and learning from each one of them.
Yeah. I do remember the days of expense account and eating out and consulting. That's always good. It still shows.
You as well.
So one common theme through all these experiences, or most of them, has been that you have been a very early participant in the KPO industry. You have helped build the knowledge center for McKinsey from very early days. What is the future of this industry? Is everything that is done by humans and brain going to be done remotely now?
See, I don't even think this whole thing about KPO and the notion of offshoring and remote is that much of a specific or necessary definition today. I think 15 years back, 20 years back, you know, when you did it, you know, I did it at McKinsey, a lot of us did it. It was something very important because, you know, breaking barriers and demonstrating that very sophisticated type of work, knowledge work, research, and which was not just about cost efficiency or scale, but which was really about innovation, which was about thought leadership, could be done from India or could be done from an offshore location. I think that's well proven. And I don't think, you know, you need to prove that anymore. I think what enterprises are really trying to do is to are recognizing that if you have global presence, that's a huge opportunity. And the opportunity with global presence is that the talent in different parts of the world is different. And in India, you may get talent with a particular set of skills, you know, analytical skills or whatever. You know, you go to Poland, you know, where in McKinsey, you know, we had set up a very successful knowledge center. You get a different type of skills. Mm-hmm. You go to Belgium, you go to Brussels and you have a different type of skills. And I think that is the future. That is what the future is, that how do you leverage your global presence and are able to bring different type of talent profiles, each of which are very unique to that geography, and then kind of string them together to build capabilities which any one location will not be able to provide you.
So kind of like a supply chain of global talent.
That's right. It's absolutely a global network. It's a global...
So what is India not very good at? Where would you put in a country like US, and how do you compare what is good at US versus may not be the best thing to do remotely?
See, I think in India we have not built enough a culture of experimentation, a culture of innovation, And I don't think it gets down, it's not about skills. It is very much about a mindset. And the difference I find, you know, as I run a business here in the US and as I've built businesses in India, is about short-term versus long-term and kind of the investment scale and investment horizon. In US, companies are a lot more assertive, confident about making
risks.
About taking risks and have that mindset of trying different things. Whereas in India, there is still a very, very kind of a short-term mentality. So it's very much harvest what you have. And therefore, despite the massive, massive presence we have of the IT industry, or pretty much the entire, you know, you said KPO, KPO industry or the analytics industry, the center of gravity is very much in India. But despite that, you know, we haven't been able to push that in terms of thought leadership, in terms of products, in terms of IP. That, I think, is the big difference. And it is not about skills. And it is very much about mindsets.
Mindset of the company and the ability to take risk. After all, it's very similar people who are running some of the largest companies.
Absolutely.
Here. So not about people, that the risk-taking appetite is the difference. After working at McKinsey, you went to another blue chip, Fidelity, and you did a startup as well before that. But I want to talk about your experience of what you did after that, which was Flipkart, a completely different company. In its own right, a household name, a huge name, and a big change it must have been from the world of buttoned up McKinsey and Fidelity to Flipkart.
Yeah.
What was happening in this company which has become the most valuable startup, storied startup, and what was your experience?
So, you know, Flipkart was just the phenomenal experience, very, very intense. So I characterize it, you know, like driving a Ferrari in the by lanes of Chandni Chowk. You know, which, you know, you would know is like a very, very crowded area. It is like that, you know. E-commerce business is a very high momentum business. It's a high scale business. It's a speed business. You know, you make decisions, and you know, you make product decisions, you make pricing decisions, and next day or, you know, in a few hours, you can see impact. So it's a very, you know, it's very high speed, but you have to be very thoughtful about it. So when I joined Flipkart in early 2016, it was a very challenging time.
And you moved through the ranks very quickly, becoming COO and effectively running the place for some time.
Yes, so because when I joined, you know, we were losing cash like $70 million per month. You know, most companies don't raise that much cash in their lifetime. We're losing that in a month. And, you know, Amazon was jumping on us. And, you know, we were, you know, Amazon, you know, we had like this really intense fight. You know, we had taken some strategic decisions which hadn't really gone well. So there was confusion. But it was also a good opportunity to step in and to really take charge. And I ended up making some very hard decisions. I ended up cutting 24-25% of our cost in like 3-4 months. And therefore I became enemy number one. But I think that's what probably saved the company, because, you know, we were able to really get that cash and invest it back into growth. You know, we developed a strategy which was really focused on middle India, which recognized that the growth that was happening was not the metros, not the tier one cities, but was really happening in the tier 2, 3, 4 cities. And that's where we beat Amazon. So very, 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 you know, I remember that very fondly, in that, you know, how much, you know, the intensity in that firm, you know, how much I was able to accomplish, how much I learned there. But it's not an experience, you know, for the faint-hearted.
How does one deal with a competitor which is, during that period, the most valuable company in the world and is willing to spend a ton of money? I think they had announced billions of dollars of investment that is going to keep going into the country. Did you use any of the McKinsey's framework, consulting framework? How do you deal with a situation which is one of its kind?
It's you know, to battle a giant, you know, you can't play by the rules. Yeah, you need to have a first you need to have confidence. First you need to have confidence. And I still remember, you know, when I joined McKinsey in 1996, you know, and that was the time liberalization had happened, you know, one of the prevailing thesis in our office was that, you know, eventually all Indian firms will die because all the foreign firms will come. They're like initially doing joint ventures, but eventually they would, you know, they would just kill the Indian firms. That never happened. That never happened. And that was a big kind of, you know, that was a great learning for me. That, you know, you should never be, you know, scared of size. And it's not just me. I think Sachin, Benny, you know, really, I think that's something they did very, very well. There was one value in Flipkart, which I really, really liked, which was audacity, being audacious. And I think that's something Sachin, Benny, and some of the early board members, they really, really, that's how they build the company. And I think that was a very, there was never ever a sense of fear. There was never ever a sense that, it's Amazon. There was always this self-belief, even at the worst of times, that we can take them down. And I think that's just something incredible, that was something incredible about Flipkart. And I think that's just something extremely positive about that generation. The generation that built Flipkart is younger than Sandeep, our generation.
Yes.
You know, folks in their 30s, and just the level of fearlessness, and again this word audacity, I think was the key thing.
Very interesting. So the version where you write a 60-page strategic plan and think through all the scenarios is not really how e-commerce giants get built.
Not at all, you know, not at all. And I think that was our, that was where we had got stuck. Because a business which I think when Sachin and Benny built it, and built it in a very clear-headed way with some of their close friends from IIT Delhi, it was very clear-headed. You know, you had to get a few things really right. And you know, and that's what drove the business. And I think there came a point, you know, where in kind of trying to now scale up and mature and kind of become world class, I think there's somewhere they went away from those quote unquote basic instincts and tried to become, you know, pick the best of, you know, Google or Amazon or Facebook or McKinsey. And from each of these places, and we brought very, you know, a lot of senior talent, including myself. And I think that confused us. You know, what was really Flipkart? And, you know, we're trying to like pick up like, you know, best of each of these, and it just became very confusing. So going back to the basics and just, you know, few clear things that, okay, you know, what is it that really, who's the customer? What is it that's really driving growth? It's just two categories. So you get them right. So, you know, mobiles and apparel, we got those right. You know, we absolutely won those. Amazon won everything else. But because these two were the giant share of both volume and value, Flipkart won. So yeah, I think that's very interesting that battles are not fought, you know, with you know, very, very sophisticated long playbooks.
Right.
Especially when it is a very fast moving, low reaction time type of business.
Let's come to your current role in Cedar, a company that you have invested in and are running as CEO now. What is the vision?
Yeah. The vision has been in the making for me for a number of years, you know, probably a decade, you know, because I've seen how broadly this kind of business and technology space has been changing. So the key thing that I've seen is that the role of technology changing from being a support function to driving the business. But that's easier said than done. So technology should be a source of competitive advantage for the business, defining the business strategy, but that doesn't happen. There's a big gap. And that is the gap that we are trying to plug. That, you know, how do you use technology, emerging technologies, to power a company?
Power a company beyond just being an enabler. It has to come more center stage. What does it mean, power a company?
Yeah, so for me, this is about from strategy to execution. Think of it as, so the company we're trying to build is a McKinsey that executes. Because where we are, you know, we're the sole intersection of business and technology. And today, I think the word that we use to kind of describe it is digital or digital transformation. Digital is not just about technology. It is a fundamental different way of thinking about the consumer, your products, the interaction, how your operating model, how you fulfill for the customer, and your infrastructure, technology, and operations to support that. So all of them have to come together. So that's the strategy. Now, how do you then? Now, the big issue today is not just the strategy. I think strategy many have gotten right, but how do you translate that strategy into a reality? Now what's different in the digital world is that the traditional boundaries between what and how have blurred. It is very much experimentation driven. It is very iterative.
Continuous development.
Strategy to execution is an iterative cycle. And unless you are able to bring both of these set of capabilities, you will fail. You know, what I saw with digital native, and that's the big thing that I saw at Flipkart, you know, versus, you know, building this at McKinsey and then running digital transformation at Fidelity, that, you know, it was not separate things. Strategy and execution were not separate things. It was very much one, what digital natives often call product-centric approach. So that's really what we're trying to build.
And how's it going?
It's going very, very well. I'm a little over 2 years into the journey. I think we've gone through like three phases. The first phase was relatively easy, which was, you know, doing assessing, you know, where we are and where we want to go. Because this whole thought process, the vision had been in making for me for quite some time, starting from my time at McKinsey, you know, where I built analytics and number of new service lines for the firm. So that was an easy part. Then was a very tough part, which was, you know, how do you take an existing firm and transform it to be this new firm that we want to build?
That has been a theme with you, huh? You had to step into that with Flipkart when it was transforming to be a professional firm, and now you have to do it in Incedo.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah, I seem to attract those type of situations or gravitate to
those. Do you have a mantra for how do you operate in these situations?
It's anybody who says that it's like a formula is kind of kidding himself or kidding the other person, that, you know, but there are four or five themes, you know, which I have seen work. I think first is that the mandate has to be very clear
from the top.
Whoever is the decision maker, in Flipkart it was the board. In McKinsey, when I was transforming the McKinsey Knowledge Center from a back office into a innovation hub, you know, there were like a few senior partners, you know, who really believed in that concept and sponsored it. And so, you know, that mandate has to be very clear, and it's not a switch on, switch off. You also have to build it over a period of time.
Sure.
I think the second thing is that you really, transformation is not easy, because what it is really about is that how do you get a virtuous cycle to go? And for that, you know, you need to, you know, that problem solving to zone down on what are the one or two things that you really change, which will get into a virtuous cycle. That's very important. It is not about
mandate. Second is get quick wins or
virtuous. No, I'll come to that. The second is this, the zoning down on the one thing that really matters.
Core thing. Okay.
The core thing. The third is, you know, what I call the two-speed strategy. And, you know, in today's environment, you know, you have to work at multiple speeds. You can't say only just quick wins or, so you need speed one, which is the quick win. But at the same time, you also need to get the big picture right. So you need to have, you know, you're the duality or the ability to work with paradoxes or different type of, in this case, quick win versus long term, I think is very important. And the final thing I would say, you know, there are many things that can be talked about transformation, but the one thing I would say is that if you want to go far, go slow. Because what I've seen is that, you know, whenever I've tried to hurry up and take a short-term view, which I think I did when I did my startup, and, you know, we failed spectacularly. You know, when I reflect on, you know, what was different versus, you know, building out, you know, what, you know, I was able to build at McKinsey, and then later on, I think the difference was the time horizon. Mm. That, you know, you take like a 2-year time horizon, and if you're trying to really do something big, it doesn't happen.
Yeah.
But if you're able to take like a 5-year time horizon, then, you know, you can really surprise yourself.
Things don't change in the short term, but they surprise you in the long term on how much you can make an impact.
That's right.
Great. We're going to change gears, talk about within a person. First question, when I look at your Facebook feed, I see a ton of selfies. What is the secret, Nitin? Why do you take so many selfies?
See, first is just physics, you know, that, you know, I have a long reach. So I'm often the person in the group, you know, who's able to stretch and take a good selfie. But look, a little more than that, I think this has really happened over the last 2 years or so. And this is, you know, when you run a global firm, you know, in Cedo, you know, we have like 10 locations. And I'm able to visit each location, not like every day, you know, you go there once every couple of months. So I found that this was just like a great way of connecting with people. Mm. That, you know, you take a selfie with, you know, that's something which is important for them.
Right.
And you put it on Facebook, it's something, you know, which it means something to them.
Right.
And now over a period of time, it's kind of become one of those signature moves.
Yes. Yeah. Indeed. Indeed. A common friend of ours, who was at Aravali IIT at the same time that you and me, told me, Nitin is everybody's friend. What is the secret? How do you manage to stay in touch with so many people?
Facebook.
Yeah?
See, I think the heart of it, see, what also, you know, people often say about me, that I remember names and I remember like small things about lots of people. And I think the key is just about, you know, interest in people. Mm. I think that is really the key. You know, if you're interested, you know, then you kind of... you remember, and I think social media really helps. So I use Facebook. I love Facebook, and I.
You're on it, and
yeah,
connecting with people.
Yeah, like, you know, in the morning you get up and you see birthdays, and you just, you know, drop right. A line. Sure. Yeah, I think it's sure. Social media has made it easy.
What's the most fun? These are questions where we just want prompt to know you better. What is the most fun you have had in the last couple of years? An instance.
Couple of years. See, I think last year, you know, we set up these family days in our office. So each of our locations in India, you know, we did this kind of big, you know, family day where we invited families of our employees, and they're like really big performances. It was like a big Indian wedding. Mm. So I really enjoyed that. It was, you know, opportunity to dance a lot. So I loved doing that. But it was also seeing our employees happy and their families happy. I think that's one of the big joys of building a business. You know, it makes, you know, all the pain worth it, you know, that you see young people happy.
Having a good time.
Yeah.
What has been your biggest failure, personal, and what has been your learning from it?
It's not failures, but I think the most, perhaps the biggest was my startup, Active Karma. Happened early on in my career, we did this startup with a couple of my friends, and were also friends at IIT Delhi. Some of them were at McKinsey, so it was really, really a A++ team, and we failed spectacularly. And I think that was something. You know, everybody expected that, you know, this team is going to do amazing things, and we failed, and I think that was a huge. Learning.
And the learning was?
See, I talked about earlier, I think just the pacing oneself.
Pacing.
And just, you know, giving yourself time. I think we were over ambitious. I think we were trying to do too many things in too short a time. And we didn't realize that we were not in McKinsey. Mm. And when those things did not happen at the pace or when the external environment changed, that was also when the dot-com boom turned into dot-com bust. Mm. I think we were mentally not prepared to deal with it.
Mm. Okay. That's insightful. And it's great that you took the lemon and made lemonade. You've had phenomenal success since then. Some rapid fire questions.
Okay.
Katrina or Angelina?
Angelina.
Parathas or pancake?
Very certainly parathas.
Okay. And a night in Times Square on New Year's or a beach vacation in Hawaii?
Beach vacation for sure.
And last one, prestige or growth?
It's a bit of a trick question. I'll answer growth, but it depends on the definition of prestige.
Okay. Okay. Last question. There is a brand called Nitin Seth. You've been around, you've received many awards, you've received a lot of recognition. But in as few words as possible, what is the brand of Nitin?
I think it's about authentic, inspiring, transformational leader. I think transformation has been a big theme across my career, and I think that's what I stand for. Taking on difficult tasks and making a difference. And in that, I think it's about energy, passion, stretching people, building a team. And I think most importantly, integrity.
Authentic, inspirational, transformational, and last one was
integrity.
Thank you so much, Nitin. We have to come back and you're going to tell us more about your blog, Nitin Fundas, and so many other things to talk about. But thank you so much for making the
time. Thanks, Sandeep. I enjoyed talking to you. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Brand Called You podcast. Be sure to visit tbcy.in to join the conversation, access show notes, and discover fantastic bonus content. You can follow us on YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Simply search for The Brand Called You. Thank you, and see you next week.